You know what my favorite part of the podcast is?
When we're done.
I'm pretty sure that's everybody's favorite part.
And rolling.
And go.
Hello and welcome to episode 191 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Vancouver, Canada, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
Also Vancouver. It's raining, Adam.
Yeah.
It's a rainy day, finally, though.
Much needed.
It wasn't much needed, but I had stuff scheduled for this morning to shoot outdoors, and we actually snuck it in.
You could have got some umbrellas out.
We needed to shoot not rain.
Oh.
So that was the specific look. We'll talk about that when we shot something interesting. Because maybe it's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to say now, no. No, it's not.
What's going on?
Just got back, or maybe I didn't by the time this airs. I was going to say I just got back from Toronto, but I did, like, I don't know, by the time this airs, like, 2.5 weeks ago.
You might have just got back from other trips.
Oh, maybe, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just got back from somewhere, or I just went somewhere, or maybe I'm going right now.
Maybe you're there right now.
Yeah. I don't understand this whole Back to the Future scheduling scenario. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say nothing is going on.
I am relatively certain this show airs on Labor Day.
Okay, just got back.
How was the trip?
Yeah, I just got back from a cruise. Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. Pardon me?
Tom
Cruise, yeah. His party, his birthday Zing. Party. His birthday party, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know what to talk about because I haven't actually been.
Right.
So maybe we'll save that. But I just got back from a cruise that I haven't gone on yet. Yeah.
Oh, the future is mind-blowing.
Yeah. So we'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah, I want to talk about that. When you go on the cruise.
Yes.
When you have... Before we recorded this and aired it, when you were going to go on the cruise, were you taking your camera?
I'm going to take my backup camera.
Yeah.
And I haven't decided exactly what to take with it. I plan on being a minimalist, and this is by no means a photography venture. So I'm throwing around the idea of no camera, but I think I probably will take my backup camera with maybe the cheap wide angle that I bought. So that...
Why were you thinking no camera?
Just because I just want to go and enjoy, like, the cruise for what it is. I don't need pictures of it.
What about taking... Well, your wife will take her iPhone, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's a camera.
Yeah.
And why not take your film camera and, like, 3 rolls of film?
Maybe I will do that. I don't know how to use it.
We'll talk about it after the show. I'll have a look at it and see which one it is.
Okay.
That's something I would consider.
But I'd still need to put, like, it's a EOS Rebel film camera that Dwayne gave me.
Right.
And I'd still need to bring a lens on it. So at that point, why don't I just take one of my backup camera body?
Because it's a different limiting thing. Like, you'll only take certain pictures.
Oh,
you won't take any pictures inside, probably.
Right.
Although if it has a flash built in, but whatever. You probably won't take many of those. It is a good way to limit yourself. We talked about this when I talk about why I shoot film on vacation. Although I've shot like zero film on this vacation.
Yeah.
Tried. And what happened at the... Did we talk about that? No, we didn't talk about that.
You posted pictures on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, this was like... Well, so now that this is airing, this is a few weeks back.
A month ago.
Yeah, a month ago, we went to the workshop with Dwayne. I thought I would be a hot shot and bring a film camera, shoot black and white film.
Yes.
Because that's the kind of show off that I am. But my film camera is in Germany, and so I borrowed my dad's. He's got an F1, which is a fancy Canon camera I've never used before, and the film jammed.
Twice.
I think, yeah. It's zweimal. So I think it was my fault, which I don't normally admit to. But point being, I ended up blowing through half a roll and then basically exposing it when I had to yank it out of the camera.
Right.
So I didn't shoot. I haven't shot any film besides that. So
you're really making a good case for why I should bring.
No, I should. I should shoot more film. It's just I can't. I don't know when I would do the processing. with two kids running around.
So, okay, so here's my question. Do you think I would be better served? Let's assume I'm going to bring my backup camera, because I think that's a pretty safe assumption that I will bring it. Do you think I'm better served to bring my backup camera with the 50 millimeter?
No.
Or my backup camera with the 30 millimeter? Yes. Or my backup camera
with... Stop listening. The answer was yes, 30 mil.
But or the cheap, whatever, 19 to 35.
What do you think the 19 to 35 will offer you?
Maybe some cool landscapes.
Sure. Eh, what are you going to do with those?
I have no idea.
You can get them on Flickr right now for free.
Okay.
Don't need those.
So don't even bring that lens.
I see. My instinct going on the cruise. I'm bringing one body, one lens. The end. That's all I'm doing.
You're saying if you were me here,
if I was going on a cruise, which P.S. I'm not going to go on a cruise.
But if you were going on a cruise, one camera, one lens, 30 mil with the crop sensor camera.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
So, more so because you're going to find situations probably where you go to dinner, and maybe you go to a fancy dinner. I don't know how cruises work. But I think you go for
dinner.
There
are some fancy dinners.
Right. Yeah. And so that's a picture you're going to want to get. You're not going to get a very good shot with your 19 to 35 on your T2i. It's going to be, you know, fine, but it's going to be pretty dark in there. It's going to be maxed out at ISO 1600, which isn't great on the T2i. It's acceptable.
Yeah, it's not great.
And so now you're shooting at a 5.6. It's not going to, you're not going to have enough light. So with the 30 mil, though, you'll get a couple of really good shots with that. And pretty acceptable for getting decent, not necessarily landscape, but landscapey shots.
Okay.
It's good all-purpose. That's what I would do.
Plus, if I leave it on the boat, I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's one of the reasons I take that. I might lose a little sleep. I'd lose a nap.
Yeah.
Not a full night. Just a cat nap. Just kidding. I haven't had a nap in years.
All right. That's it. Done.
There you 30 go.
Mil with the T2i. That's what's going.
If you do lose it, though, and have to replace it, where do you buy one?
Amazon.
Yeah. That's how they should change the name to that.
Yeah.
Amazon. Sure. You'd remember that.
Yeah. I would just put an exclamation point beside it. So that's what I brought to my cruise. I bought the and I got a whole bunch of great photos.
Except I left the camera on the boat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. I was awake the entire flight home. So that's what was going on. Little scheduling note. Two shows ago, we talked about, hey, Adam's going to talk about the wedding he shot in Toronto.
Yeah.
And then Don Komarechka got in touch with us and said, hey, can I be on your show again? Something like that. Yeah. Actually, we asked him, because I like when he comes on the show.
Yeah.
And we asked him, and he was available, so we snuck him in as fast as we could.
So when you guys heard Don's voice, all of you that were wildly disappointed, we apologize for leaving that cliffhanger of the wedding talk and replacing it with Don's wedding talk.
Do you think maybe I should have talked about it on that show?
Yeah, it would have made more sense. Because I think people figured it out by the album title and if they listen to the show.
Right.
You know what it's like? When I was a kid, I'm a big fan of wrestling, right?
Right.
When I was a kid, I used to get the TV guide. You remember that? When there was an actual TV guide that came in the mail?
Yeah.
And I always, like Saturday Night Live, if we ever talked about this on the podcast, Saturday Night Live was 11:30 at night.
Uh-huh.
And every, I don't know, 3 months, wrestling would override it.
No.
And so
it was every 4 weeks, man.
What? That wrestling would get that slot?
Don't start with me because I'm the opposite of you. I was a huge SNL fan.
Yeah.
And so when they would do Saturday night's main event, I would basically set fire to my television.
And I was the opposite. Every week I'd run to that TV guide and I'd open it up and 11:30 would be Saturday Night Live and I'd be, oh, darn it.
Yeah. See, the way SNL pretty much ran was they'd do 3 weeks on and then 1 week off because it would burn you out. And then in that week, wrestling would go. Now, I don't think it was Saturday night's main event every time.
No.
But you're going to see Big John Studd.
Yeah.
He's going to show.
Yeah.
So there's that.
So it's kind of like that. So you were waiting for Saturday night's main event, and instead you've got, I don't know.
Myers.
Yeah.
Early Phil Hartman, though.
Yeah, he was good.
You had Phil Hartman on there.
Yeah. I'm not sure which one is better. I guess it depends on whether you like Hulk Hogan or not.
Right. So that explained. Now we're all set.
Yeah. Now we know what happened.
About what happened there. And I should have mentioned it last week.
Yeah.
Sorry I didn't.
It's funny that we're doing this podcast and I'm in wrestling trunks.
That I'm fine with that. The mask is off-putting. Yeah. Yeah, I was wearing a bald guy mask.
Yeah, it's a lucha libre.
Right. So this week, though, did you shoot anything interesting?
No.
Still no?
No. Well, are we counting the wedding as this week? I shot that.
We'll talk about that. You have a whole section dedicated to that.
I still haven't shot anything interesting since our last podcast.
Right.
I'm inundated with photos. I and again, we'll talk about this. I took so many photos for the wedding that I've loaded up all of my memory cards. Uh-huh. And until I've processed everything and I'm completely 100% done with them, I do not want to stick those camera cards back into my camera and take more photos.
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
My cards are full. I have three cards. They're full.
Why don't you take at least one of those cards?
Yeah.
And copy it to a different external hard drive. Just I've
copied them.
So they're in two places.
They're in two places.
So
would
you go ahead and erase them then? Two places is plenty, buddy.
I just would like to finish this weekend and then I will delete them.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just a worrier. I'm just a worrier.
Yeah. No, I hear you. You don't want to have that happen. You don't want to lose those images. But two places, you're good. Now they're in three right now.
Yeah. They're are they?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm telling you, is put them in three places if this is the case.
Yeah, I think they are in three.
Generally, what I do for big jobs like that is I'm going to put them in my Aperture library.
Yeah.
Soon to be Lightroom.
Done.
Probably not long after hearing this, I'm going to make the move to Lightroom.
Great.
However, so they're in my Lightroom.
Sure.
Aperture. I will then actually copy them to an external drive, just the raw files. I'll just drag them and drop them and leave them untouched. Boom, raw. Okay.
So we're talking 45 gigabytes.
Yeah, whatever they are. So it'll be in my Aperture. That's one copy. External hard drive as raw files. That's copy number two. And I will then take the Aperture and back that up to its vault, which is on some separate drive. So that'll be three copies there in addition to my CF cards, which I can then erase. No worries. That's how I roll. Okay. That way you can get back shooting.
Great. I just don't want to shoot.
That's also, I understand that. That's also one way to go.
The idea of 800 images that I have to edit makes you want to throw up. And so, hence, I do not want to take more photos that are just now going to be sitting on my computer that maybe someday, 6 months from now, I'm going to edit. So I just am refusing to take photos right now.
I do understand that. I'm getting behind myself.
Okay.
I'm getting way behind. I ended up doing because, you know, did I shoot something interesting today? I don't know. I did shoot today. I had to go shoot realty photos today.
All right.
Not of realty, not of real estate, but of realtors.
Okay.
So it was a group shot. That is like pulling teeth. It's that fun.
Yeah. Are you trying to make these people laugh? Not really, right?
No, this is the issue. See, that's a great point. How do you go ahead and, like, first of all, if you Google realtor photos, you're in for a treat. Because most of them are terrible.
Awful. I can't remember seeing a good one.
No, I mean, I've sat on a few at the bus stop. That's where you see them, you know? But no, in general, I mean, and to me, the best you can hope for a realtor headshot is neutral.
Yeah.
Like, no one looks at that and goes, oh my God.
I'm going to buy a house from that guy.
Yeah. He knows who to hire photography-wise.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a thing. It's basically you want to convey professionalism, the professionalism of that individual, and you basically hope to not be noticed as a photographer. That's the best scenario, which isn't bad to do. So the headshots were all fine. We shot those a couple weeks ago or a year and a half ago, if you're listening to this now. And we were supposed to do the group shots because there's four of them. It's a team. It's such and such and associates.
Right.
You know, and so that's the thing. It's not just a team. There's a main guy and then associates.
Right.
So you have that to deal with. You have this whole hierarchy of who stands where, who's bigger in the frame. And these aren't egos because all four of them are great. great to work with. No problem there. But there is still a conveyed hierarchy of who is who, and you should also, when you look at this photo, you should know who is who or whom is whom. I don't know. When you see the photo, without being explained to, you should know right away what's going on, who does what.
Did you have a reference photo for this kind of thing?
No. No. The direction I was given was shoot a bunch and then I'll know what works.
Right.
Right. Which, hey, that's awesome. That's monkey's type in Shakespeare at that point. But it worked. I had something in mind, and I'm pretty sure the image consultant isn't listening to this episode. She sent me a bunch of sample photos and said, hey, like I like the way these look, and they were all family photos.
Okay.
Like they were like families in, first of all, families enjoying the fall weather with the leaves and all that.
Well, cheap, they're probably my photos.
Yeah. It's and then she sent some engagement photos in a comic book form.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, did those. No, it was kind of like what we're looking at on your wall here, but I said, well, it is, you know, when we first started this, it was, you know, beginning of August. So there's no leaves.
Yeah.
Okay. Second of all, and then she showed a bunch of like shots that she liked with like the cool lens flare and stuff like that. And it was like, well, these were shot at magic hour, not at, you know, magic noon.
Right.
When we, the only when time we could schedule them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so these are the limitations that you're dealing with. Plus the interaction between families is different than four professionals.
Right.
So that, this is all kind of what I was dealing with. And none of them, so there's not a ton of variation. I just changed background a little bit and moved them around slightly, but generally it's the same four poses that they all have. And two of them are guys, two of them are girls, so you have to kind of deal with that, those kind of poses. And
are you shooting tight, sort of, you know, waist up, sort of shoulders, and you're not shooting full length shots
here? No. Right. No, the idea is they want kind of the waist up.
Yeah.
But you have to be, you know, consider that you better shoot the full length ones as well, and they can crop to it, and so they have options. It's a lot of options that they want to have. And the other thing is, the background should be blurry.
Right.
That's given. But you're shooting four people, so you have to have enough depth of field to keep everybody in focus. You have to be back far enough so that all four people can get in the shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so these are, again,
What are you shooting this with?
I shot today with the 70-200 on a full frame.
Okay, so what was your aperture in order to achieve this?
F4.
F4, and you probably had to be standing a little ways from them in order to make sure that you keep them all in focus at F4.
F4, yeah. Everything is at 200 mils, because I want to compress the background as much as I can.
Right.
And I'm standing way back. I'm standing, and
being really careful that they're standing in a perfect focal plane.
Yes, we're very careful about that.
Yeah.
And they're all different heights as well, and that has to sort of be evened out. Like, one of the guys was very tall, and that has to sort of be, you have to sort of accommodate for that and bring him, you know, bring him down. So we're kind of shooting in different areas where he can step off the curb and they can all stand on the curb and level it out a little bit. So it's all these things going on. And so I spent the good, you know, better part of the morning doing this.
Great.
So like I said, no, I didn't shoot anything interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shot some boring stuff.
Yeah. Way to get to it.
Yeah,
my answer was way faster.
Right. But you didn't learn anything.
No, we learned. Well, did we learn anything from your?
And there was hair. We did. We will learn when I show the images.
Oh,
likely by this point, by the time you're listening to this, I have the images posted
with the whatever Realty.
I'm assuming he's cool with it.
You're gonna have the
yeah.
Yeah, you're going to do advertising for them,
essentially.
Yeah,
yeah. And then with girls, and this the spoiler alert. With guys, a little bit, but mostly with girls, you have hair considerations.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure the hair is just right, and that all takes time. When they're all four in one shot, you have to think of all these things that have to come together at once. So it's difficult to do,
mm-hmm.
and not fun. I don't want to do this anymore. Group shots, professional shots. When it's people having fun, that's a little different. So there you go. So that's my shot this week.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Good tip. Enthusiasm.
No, we already did that.
Huh? Yeah, I'm saying last week we did enthusiasm.
Yeah, this week.
What do you want to do this week's?
Well, yeah.
I thought we'd do last week's again.
Yeah.
No.
Photo challenge.
Photo challenge. What was it?
Candid. Yeah.
See, I wrote it down, but in the different notes.
Yeah, I know. See, this is why I'm here. I'm what we call the cleanup crew.
The wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah. There it is. Candid.
Yeah.
Oh, that's even more interesting.
Is your challenge.
Is Don going to come on the show again?
Yeah. He is.
Because I haven't written down here.
Yeah. No, you've mixed the two together.
Yeah. I got Don. Don, what do you think of Candid? Don? We lost Don.
Yeah. Don, no more Don.
Wonderful. That's excellent. This week's photo challenge is Candid. So let's have a look at them. Who goes first, me or you?
I don't care.
Quick, just pick a horse.
Yours.
Awesome. There you go. That's a Candid shot.
Enthusiasm.
That was, he is, it's kind of a tie-in from last week.
Yeah.
He is being enthusiastic.
And candid.
This was candid. This was obviously not set up because my 8-month-old son does not take direction.
Right.
Neither does my 3-year-old daughter.
Yes.
Or your kids. So when does direction start kicking in?
I don't know. My wife doesn't take it, so.
Yeah. Do you?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. I take it very well myself.
So tell us what's going on here.
This is just a candid shot. No, this was taken at the beach, my favorite place to go, and the sun has just, oh boy, I'm trying to think if it was just set or it was just about to set.
Okay.
Either way, the sun is very low in the sky, and
what's he so excited about?
Being at the beach, man.
No, but someone's prompting him to.
No prompting.
He's just saying, hey, look at that over there.
I was down here. We're down here with friends and having a good time at the beach, as we do many, many times. We've talked about it pretty much every week on the show. I probably still taste like salt. Go ahead.
No.
Give my arm a lick.
Not licking it.
Give my arm a. And so we were down there having some fun, and I brought the 40 millimeter or 40D with the 85 millimeter lens, and was waiting to take other shots. And then this just popped up. I just looked over, and my son was sitting on my wife's lap, having a great time.
Yeah.
Just really enjoying it, up past his bedtime.
Why wouldn't he have a great time?
He's up past his bedtime. We're at the beach. It's a nice, sunny summer evening. And he was just really, really cheerful. And so I grabbed this one.
It's a great shot.
That's I think so, too. But yeah. I happen to like the kid. So that might be one.
Yeah, it's nice light. It's a great depth of field, and
so tight though that if you look closely for nitpicking, his eyes
one slightly out,
tiny bit soft.
Yeah,
tiny
that's
bit
okay.
Soft.
Your focus is on the expression, the mouth anyway. So it's the mouth that really drives this photo. Now, a little posing advice for him. Maybe he'll take this with the heart that it's intended. Tell him to stick his forehead out. Get rid of some of that double chin action.
Oh, that, I wish it was only a double chin.
Yeah, that's a little bit of what we call a gobbler.
Yeah.
Good photo.
Well, thanks. Let's have a look at yours. Tell us what's going on. Oh, my goodness, that guy is fast.
Yeah. Well, this was you and Jack having a race while your daughter was playing with the skipping rope.
She was gumming up the racetrack.
Yeah, everybody was somewhat having a good time, and so this was just, I just liked the fact that everybody's kind of having a good moment, and there's two kind of things happening simultaneously, and yet, like, I think you guys are all into your action, she's totally into her action, and this is just a snapshot of people having a good time.
And I don't know what I was thinking racing the Flash.
In bare feet.
That's
you
got to
bring your A game. You next time get your spikes on.
It worked for Kip Kano.
Yeah, Jack had new shoes, so he was super fast with his new shoes.
Google Kip Kano.
Kip Kano.
Yeah,
he was a runner with no shoes.
Correct.
Okay, great.
Don't bother googling.
Yeah,
I think you're good.
Pretty sure. Got it.
I can't believe it took us 191 episodes to get to Kip George Kano.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there you go. That's all that is. Just a moment of fun happening here with a couple of different things going on.
I do like it. This is in this summer. This is the second photo you've posted of me running.
Really?
Yeah.
You and Sarah at the parade.
That's right.
Yeah, you got good form.
I'm kind of Forrest Gump. Wherever I'm going, I am running.
Yeah, you're running.
Yeah.
I like your daughter's expression here.
Yeah.
completely oblivious to the fact she's going to get run over.
Oh, in half a second.
Yeah. I didn't get the photo after this where your right elbow just completely levels her in the back of her shoulder.
You have the one of the ambulance coming to get her, though, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So,
absolutely.
There you go.
No, I do like it a lot.
Nothing really technical going on here, just a snapshot.
That's what Canada's all about. Yeah. You're catching a lot of emotion. And
Jack is serious when he's running.
Do you, just on a side note, because that's what we do here, do you know what television show they're filming in Vancouver right now?
And it's not the show I always talk about?
No, no, no. Yeah. That's I'm not sure if they're in Richmond, but I know they were in down on Main Street. Like 2nd and Main, that area.
No, what? Tell us, what are they filming?
Come on.
Flash?
The Flash.
I saw that it's coming soon. Like, it's coming out this fall, I think.
I'm pretty sure Jack could go meet The Flash.
Wow. I forget Jack. I'm going to meet The
really?
Flash. Yeah, I love The Flash.
Okay. I don't know if I'm not promising I can make any calls.
I saw a little trailer on Rotten Tomatoes for The Flash, the show coming soon. And I went to Jack. I'm like, guess what's coming to TV? It's going to be father-son TV night when The Flash is on.
Because
I remember the old show and it was terrible.
Right.
Yeah. So I hope they do better.
A friend of mine sent me a message the other day that they were filming outside of her office.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I make no promises because I'm not dialed in here.
Yeah.
I know who to call, who can maybe call somebody, and maybe we'll see if Jack. It has to be Jack. You can show up.
I'll with wear him. My Flash costume.
You are now on. If you and Jack show up wearing your Flash costumes to meet the Flash, that is awesome.
100%. We would both wear our
costumes. I will come and photograph that.
Great. Because, I mean, it's like Comic-Con, right? There'll be a lineup to meet the Flash. We'll be wearing our Flash costumes.
The thing is, it won't be like Comic-Con because that's where it's acceptable. You just walking down Main Street wearing that costume to meet the Flash will be awesome.
Yes.
With sun. I'm into it.
All right.
I don't know what costume I will wear. I'll probably wear my Alan costume.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like this, but with like a sour face.
Right.
There you go.
So, and no teeth in your smile.
Absolutely. Just stoic. Great. We'll make that happen. Oh, who won this week?
As a tie.
Yeah.
I mean, I think yours is a better photo, but I think mine is more candid.
I disagree. Mm. On candidness, I disagree. Mm. That's tough because I'm in both photos.
Or
I took one and I'm in the other one.
Yeah. Well, what's the definition of candid?
I don't know. Alan Funt.
No, but what's the definition? Like, what's the definition? Like, how do you interpret it?
Unplanned.
Yeah, it's unplanned.
Yeah.
I think it's speaks the truth.
That's true. That's true.
And so, I mean, you've got an 8-month-old that's all smiles, but can't be all smiles all the time. So it's truth in that moment right here.
I run all the time?
Well, no, this is truth here. Like, Jack's going to compete with anybody and your daughter's going to smoke somebody with a skipping rope.
That's true.
Yeah. So truth.
That's true. I don't wear shorts often. I'm on vacation.
Really? So you wear shorts all the time.
On vacation.
Oh.
Only on vacation. I have a thing.
All right.
So
all right, you win.
On a technicality.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, my son won't always be 8 months old either. So technically that's fleeting.
Yeah.
There you go. This week's topic. We're going to talk about the wedding in Toronto.
Right.
So this is Adam's wedding. Part two.
Yeah, this is, well, it's my cousin got married.
Right, well, but we part one, we talked about you doing a wedding before.
We did?
Yeah, we did an episode about the winter wedding.
Yeah, yep.
But now
that was a co-worker. That was a co-worker, yep.
And that was what? How start to finish, 2 hours?
Yeah, roughly.
Now you're doing a real wedding.
This was the whole meal deal. This was from breakfast till the wee hours of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, really? What does wee hours mean?
Well, I think I stopped taking photos at about 1 a.m.
Okay.
I was not being asked or expected or required to shoot photos in the evening. It was just go have a good time.
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll get to it. But I still did take photos right up till the end until I evacuated the premises.
We talked about what my strategy for that would be. Let's figure out how it all played out. So we talked a few weeks ago mm-hmm. on what you would take on that trip.
Right. And I said I was going to take a wide angle, like the cheap wide angle.
Uh-huh.
I was going to take 50 millimeter and the 85 millimeter.
And both camera bodies.
And both camera bodies.
So, however, one was designed to be a backup only, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes. Yeah, the T2i was designed to be a backup. I didn't really have any plans to use it unless necessary. I wasn't going to, when I saw the venue for the actual wedding, like, I didn't see the need to basically have a wide angle and a zoom set up. And the beauty of the whole situation was they appointed me, one of the good friends of the groom was designated to give me whatever help I needed. And he had, a pretty decent body of knowledge as far as photography was concerned. And he had a full frame camera and he had a very nice, I think he was shooting Nikon, and he had the equivalent Nikon camera to me, the D600, which is a full frame, again, designed to be the exact direct competitor to the Canon 6D. So we're shooting with similar gear, but he had a 28-70mm 2.8. So that blew my 19-35 out of the water as far mm-hmm. as image quality. So I said, great, you shoot some wider stuff. And we're talking about the ceremony here. Mm-hmm. So I said, you'll shoot some wider stuff and then I'll move around and I'll shoot a little bit of tighter stuff and then we'll just cover all our bases. So I had no need to have the second camera body going at the same time.
So backing up, before we get into the ceremony part, backing up.
So you want to start at the beginning of the day?
No, I want to ask about your carry-on. How did it work out with the carry-on? Everything fit?
Oh yeah, no problem.
And no problem in the overhead?
I did not put it in the overhead. I put it at my feet. I don't
really?
Yeah. Yeah,
I can never have anything at my feet.
Oh, it works perfectly for me. I don't trust putting it in the overhead.
Uh huh.
Yeah,
I'm very careful about how I place it in the overhead.
I understand.
I usually have a buffer, like I'll have a jacket or something.
Yeah,
and I tend to, if I can, I put it up at the front of the compartment because oftentimes, if it's going to be a sudden motion, it's going to be like a braking thing, and so it won't fly up at the front. It'll already be at the front. It's only that during takeoff that you do the quick acceleration,
right?
And generally it doesn't rip it to the back of that compartment.
Okay,
so that's my tip for you.
So there you go. I still probably won't put it, you know, for travel purposes, if I'm not dealing with a wedding, like, and I can understand putting it up in the overhead on the way to, but once I got on the way back, I think again then I'm a little bit probably more prone to err on the side of caution as far as where I put it. Plus, I wanted to put it at my feet on the way home because I wanted access to it, because I had, at this point, shot a zillion photos and I wanted mm-hmm. to be able to go through and just get rid of some of the ones that I knew clearly were not going to be usable. So
the one thing I don't like about putting it in the overhead is that you always get some chucklehead trying to jam their bag in. It
right.
doesn't fit and they just hammer it.
Yeah.
So I think in the future, I just thought of this now, I'm going to only pack like whoopee cushions up there.
Okay.
So when they jam it in, the whole plane just thinks, uh-uh.
Yeah.
Good for that guy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to patent. Can I patent that idea?
Sure.
Do it. Done. Mark it down. Okay, so it all worked out carry-on-wise.
Carry-on-wise, it was all good. Everything got there.
So now you get to the day of the wedding. Now
yep.
you're staying in the hotel
yep.
at the wedding venue.
Yes.
Big plus.
Yep.
That's a great thing. So now you can keep some stuff in the room.
Yeah. So we actually got there the day before. So we got to the venue the day before. So it was like the Friday night. The wedding's on the Saturday. And I knew, like, they had given me an itinerary of how the day was going to go. And so first thing was, I knew that the wedding was going to go from like 4 to 4:30. And then we were going to go shoot photos at a separate location with the bridesmaids and the bride and the groom and everything, but from 4:30 to 6. So I knew that that time was going to be when we were doing the outside photos. So I basically took a walk around. I knew that we were going to walk from the venue where the wedding was to the second venue. So I basically walked the route that we were going to go to kind of look at what the light was going to be like.
The day before you walked.
The day before, at the same time that I was going to. So I did a bit of scouting work. So I sort of took a walk around and I saw a few interesting things. So I saw, you know, we were right in the downtown of Kitchener and there was some cool graffiti on a few walls. So I took note of that. And then I also took note of where the sun was going to be amongst the buildings and where it was going to fall. Because I thought in my head that some cool photos would be the bride and groom were going to walk through this downtown street for about three blocks from the venue where they're getting married to the venue where we're going to take these photos. And I thought to myself, the best photos might very well be the ones walking through the downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of looked at where we were going to go, and there was a street festival going on. So they closed this route so they could actually walk down the middle of the street. So at this point I haven't edited any of those photos or even truly looked at them, but I'm going to say I think I got some really good candid photos walking through the street because people are hollering at the bride and groom and whatnot. So bottom line is, to go back to our original point, I scouted the locations before I ever started this whole deal.
That's a hot move.
Yeah. So I don't think it comes up for every photographer who shoots his weddings, but a nice luxury to have. You feel more prepared. And in my head, I already had a few spots that I could stop and shoot that were going to be cool locations. And I knew exactly where they are and where the light was going to be.
And if you sort of casually drop the idea that you scheduled it the day before, the couple will have just a newfound confidence in you.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Wow, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Lens cap still on, though.
Yeah. Camera's backwards. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But no, and I think they appreciated that I did that. So basically, do you want me to start from where we started taking photos in that day?
Yes.
So my cousin and the groomsmen, they kind of put the offer out there. There was no expectations. My cousin was great about the whole thing. And they had this other guy, James, who was a really good guy that, again, I talked a fair bit of with on the night before the wedding and just about, you know, all things photography and camera related. And he was completely willing to just go with the guys in the morning to do some photos. They wanted to go for coffee, and then my cousin was taking them for lunch before they came back to get ready. And I basically said, you know, I'll come along. And, you know, we both, James and I both took some photos when they went for coffee. And then cousin took us to a Mexican restaurant for lunch that was quite neat. It was called Taco Farm, and it was kind of high-end tacos that were really, really quite neat. So we went to those places, and I just shot a bunch of photos, not a ton, because it wasn't meant to be distracting to their whole guy time, mm-hmm. but I took a couple of photos to document sort of what they did that morning. So we did that in the coffee shop, and nice thing about the coffee shop was I think it was six guys, and we sat close to a big window, and it was a cool looking coffee shop, and I just used window lights, so all natural light, and I think those photos will look nice considering what it is, just some guys drinking coffee, but a lot of good laughs happened, and I more or less I can tell my cousin's very expressive. He laughs a lot, and he has a great booming laugh and a super expressive face. And so I kind of wait for the story. Someone would be telling a story, and you're just waiting for the punchline, mm-hmm. and then watch him burst into laughter and then just shoot that. So from coffee, I probably have 15 or 20 images of just him just bursting out and laughing with guys on either side of him also laughing. So I think those will be cool shots. And then I took one photo at the taco place with him kind of making like a delighted face as he holds a couple of tacos to his mouth. One shot and one and done, and it's a good photo. So I like that. And then after that, we returned back to the hotel so they can get ready. And this is where, at this point, it's like midday. It's like 1 o'clock. The wedding's at four. And my turn was to go to the girls. They had gotten their hair done, and now it's time for the bride to get ready. And James was going to shoot the guys getting ready in the other room. So it's good. We'd sort of divide and conquer. So mm-hmm. I went with the girls, and they had specifically a hotel room for her to get ready, which was nice because it was kept mostly clean and empty. And I did a couple while she was just finishing up last little touches on makeup, and that I shot a picture of like the shoes on the bed. Like I just used the bed kind of as a pretty clean background and shot like a close up of the shoes with just a blurred background, and then like the jewelry and the rings and just a few of these shots, the invitation. And I tried to do
my least favorite shots actually.
Yeah. And I have no idea what I'm doing with these. I asked Lisa for some advice in terms of how to position things, but bottom line is I think they're fine, but they are what they are. They're going to go in the album just to mark the fact that they're there. I certainly did not create Rembrandts when it came to those things.
Some people do. That's very few. Like most of these shots that you see are fully acceptable photos.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then in that 1%, you'll see a wow and think,
yeah,
I can't do that.
And or I just needed some good examples, but I also did it in about 3.5 minutes. Like I mm-hmm. literally shot those photos in the 5 minutes window that I had to shoot all of those things, bang, bang, bang. And then I got to what I wanted to do, which was shoot the bride getting ready. So I had in my head, like this was a really nice big window lit room. And a big sort of floor to ceiling mirrors like on the closet where I basically was posing her in front. So in my head, I wanted to take the typical photo where, you know, the back of the dress is kind of getting zipped that last bit up and buttoned up or whatnot. And, she had the bridesmaids and her mom all in the room, and we sort of shot different combinations of her in front of the mirror. And she had a beautiful dress that accentuated the fact that she's got a very... like the bride is a very nice, well muscular back,
and says the physiotherapist.
Yeah, so I mean, I definitely appreciate that sort of thing. so the bottom line is I wanted to really show that off in the photos, like a really nice back, but at the same time, you also want to include the face. So mirror shots were perfect for this because I shot some. I shot it at about an F4 and I focused on the mirror so I could see her face as the sharp focus, but I posed her at an angle to really show off her back. And what I did was I used the window light, which was basically gonna basically fall on her back and create some shadows and some nice light on her shoulders. But then my wife was standing in the bathroom with the softbox throwing just a little bit of light on her face. And so again, I've gone and looked through these photos. I am supremely happy with how those turned out. Like they honestly, some of the best photos I think I've ever taken, composition wise. They just worked. So we'll see if you or others agree. But I was really happy because basically it's one of those situations where the way you draw it up in your head, sometimes it's actually better on the camera than the way you thought of it. And so I had a few of those, again, situations work out for there. And then I just started adding people in and shooting different combinations. So we did a lot of that in the room. And then like
So at this point, how far into the day are you?
So now it's well, the wedding is at 4, and it's probably at this point 3 o'clock-ish.
How many shirts have you sweat through?
Actually, surprisingly, it was in the hotel and it was air conditioned.
Okay.
So I was no problem at this point. Again, I underdressed. I was wearing a golf shirt and just some slacks. So I wasn't dressing warm. And I told them that because otherwise I would have sweat through a few shirts. But I had this one shot in mind for the bride, and it was one that I did with the previous bride. And it's one of those shots where it was dark carpet and I got up really high. She crouches down sort of in a kneeling position on the floor, and we spread the dress out sort of in a big sort of circle. And then we did a few where she's looking down at her flowers, a few where she's looking up or off to the side, but it shot basically straight down with, I did a couple with a 50 mil and a couple with an 85 mil and just really highlight the eyes and shot it like an F2. And just, again, eyes are the only thing in focus. If she's slightly off angle, only one eye's in focus, mm-hmm. but it really, really shows off the contrast between the dress and the darker rug. And again, these are all lit by a combo of window light on her back and then softbox light on her face. And again, knew exactly what I was going to get because this is one of my favorite. I sometimes do this with my kids. I've done it with the previous bride. I've done it for pregnancy photos. Love it. Not going to shoot 50 photos like this, but I knew when I did it that I was going to have probably one or two of her favorite photos from the whole day were going to be this shot. Mm-hmm. She's going to put this one up. I'm sure of it. Just it's that kind of photo that you just kind of go, wow. So I did that photo, and maybe we one day we could do an episode just on this kind of photo because anybody can do it and it doesn't take
long.
Didn't we? I don't think we've done it on this kind of photo. I think I've done it in a photo challenge. I don't know if we've done episode on it, but super easy for anyone to pull off. And it is a kind of wow factor photo. So did that. And then after I'd got all the photos I wanted with the bride and the bridesmaids, and they did the gift thing, and we did all that sequence all in the same room. So once I had the light figured out, that was pretty good. And then I did some with the guys. We sort of met up with the guys, and in my head from the scouting the day before, there was a graffiti wall that was like half a block away from the building, and I really wanted to shoot these guys in front of this wall. And we went down there. and took a shot, which again, this was, I had all of 4.5 minutes to do this. Mm-hmm. So no light, and there was shade of about 4.5 feet deep from the wall. So I had to get 6 or 7 guys in, and I wanted an angle that would show off the wall. Like, I didn't want to shoot it flat on the wall. I wanted to shoot it at a bit of an angle, but getting all 6 or 7 guys in the shot without having anybody touch the light that was like, again, if they moved their head 2 inches, someone was going to be in that light and it was just going to blow out all the highlights. So I really struggled to do this with the fact that it was really hot out that day and the guys just wanted to be back at the, like they were basically going from that shot to greeting the guests at the wedding. So we were on a serious time crunch, but I got the shot I got is good. If I had 2 more minutes to pose them better, I think it could be better. One guy who's a taller guy, he gets a little bit like behind slightly his chin on one of the other people, but the background's so cool that I think they're going to love the photo. But I mm-hmm. wish I had someone pointed out to me, hey, that guy's just slightly off.
Right.
And so anyway, so I got a cool photo that way. And then it was ceremony time. So,
and boom, you're into it.
And then boom, we're into it. There's no time to really think or anything. So I had my camera ready. And myself and the other photographer, I had the gray card with us, so we used the gray card. And here's the kicker: the priest or whatever. I don't know the religious undertones here. So the guy conducting the ceremony, mm-hmm. he had mentioned to us, like, you know, please don't shoot flash during the ceremony because right. he has glaucoma and it's going to throw him off. And
not my problem, Father.
Yeah. So
sorry, Padre.
So anyways, he said you could use a bit of flash when they walk in and when they walk out, but definitely mm-hmm. didn't want us to use flash at all during the ceremony. So he said, fine. And what that meant was, you know, well, I wanted to shoot probably between an f4 and an f5.6 to give myself enough depth of field that I wasn't going to miss them walking in.
Did you know what lens you were shooting with?
I was going to shoot with a 50 mil. I was going to shoot with the 50 mil because I wanted to make sure that I could get some full length shots and get some close ups, and I was just going to move around. In the 85, because the room was a bit too small, I was only going to get close ups with that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't bring the 70-200, so my only choice was basically, the only choice that made sense to me was the 50. Mm-hmm. So that I went with that. And based on the lack of light without flash, I was shooting on like an ISO 5000 in order to get at f4 or f5.6 in order to get a shutter speed of, you know, 1/400th of a second, or sometimes it was dropping down to like 1/350th of a second.
With a 50 mil lens, though,
it's okay.
All the way down to 1/100. Well, you can go down to 150.
But I was worried about when they were walking. Like, you know, I was worried about the freezing that motion. I also didn't know how fast they were going to walk. So, mm-hmm. so I wanted to give myself a little wiggle room. And I shot the previous wedding for that purposes on an ISO of 5000 ISO. And it's completely acceptable. You're going to get grain, but I figured most of these were going to be black and white. And then I don't mind the grain. So,
absolutely.
So we did that. And I haven't had much of a chance to look at those, but I think, again, I can sort of expect what they're going to be. They're going to be the typical shots you think they're going to be, right? And then after that, we went through and did a walk to the other venue, which was probably one of my favorite times because, again, it was completely candid.
Sorry, back up a little bit. During the ceremony, you had a second shooter shooting then
as well. Yes. So he was, well, actually, that's primarily what he did. James, the guy that I mentioned earlier, he shot with the 28-70 on a full frame. And I said, make sure you get some wide stuff. I didn't care if you get, you know, close-ups because I was going to move around and get some of that, but shoot some wide stuff because mm-hmm. I'm not going to get that. So, you know, he did a lot of that. And even if he got, you know, 10 good shots, I think we're more than covered because I got enough to cover the sort of basics.
During the ceremony, you'd be surprised at how little you need to photograph.
Yeah.
Like your instinct is like, man, I'm standing here. I should be shooting something.
Yes, I stopped for large chunks.
Yeah. That's what I end up doing. And even if it's a half hour ceremony, I'm thinking, okay, there's certain shots I want to get. You obviously want to get the rings happening and the vows and the kiss and them coming in, them going.
I mostly wanted to get the exchanges with the parents. Like to me, you know, I was going to get the photo of them standing up at the altar because that happens for like 20 minutes of it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get the walking out, mostly the bride part of that, the groom part isn't very exciting, but I mm-hmm. wanted to get the exchanges between the mom and son or daughter and dad. Like those are the sort of little moments that I wanted to have. Cause I think even if the bride and groom like don't care a ton about certain moments, I think the parents will appreciate those yeah. moments. Right.
And so, I try to shoot the reaction shots of each of the parents and the close relatives. Cause they're the ones in the front row. Usually.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you try to grab one of those and it doesn't really matter at what point in the ceremony you need one.
Yeah.
You know, when the mom's crying and it might happen two or three times, just get one of them.
Yeah. So we did that. And then now, you know, cut to ceremonies over, everybody walks out. We immediately went to shoot a couple of photos of grandparents who weren't going to be basically coming with us to the next stage. So we shot them just on a little balcony out at the hotel and just quickly did that. James had brought a giant reflector with him, which was wildly handy for almost all of the photos we did at this point on. So it was one of those, it was like a 60-inch reflector that had one of these 5-in-1s. So it had white, silver, gold, the whole deal. I think we mostly used white and silver mm-hmm. just to bounce some light. And then I didn't have to worry about any flash or whether or not, my wife's home now, whether or not,
all right,
you know,
pants back on.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have to worry about any other variables because I was essentially shooting with continuous light at that point.
Right.
So we did that. And again, it speeds up the process because you're not waiting for a recycle time on your flashes, or you also know exactly where the light and the shadows are going to fall. So we did some of that. And then,
especially if you are waiting and don't wait long enough.
Yeah.
And you snap away and you get like a half lit photo.
Well, and the beauty of it is too, I just take four or five and chances are you're going to get everybody looking at some point there
mm-hmm.
and hopefully get a half decent smile. But at this point, I also know I got it. And if I didn't, if someone's got a funny look or isn't looking or whatever, so be it. That's what they're getting. But the nice thing is I check critical focus once and I don't have to keep going back and check it. I just keep it there, move the light in and out a little bit. So I might get a little bit of variation in where that light falls and that's it. It speeds the process up exponentially.
Yeah.
So at that point, now we did that for a few minutes. Now it's time to walk to the venue where we're going to do the bridesmaids and groomsmen shots. And this is where I get excited because this is where I've sort of done my scouting. And in my mind, it's like, we're going to walk down the street. I've got James and my wife both helping me. So I've got two flashes in high speed sync because I want to make sure that I keep a little bit of light on the bride and the groom. And I basically instructed them to bride and groom walk out front. Everybody sort of trail behind them, try to fan out a little bit. So yeah. Hopefully I can see some of them and just walk downtown.
Yeah. Like Canadian geese.
Yeah. Yeah. I sort of said the flying V. Yeah. I said the flying V works, but I wanted it to not, I didn't, even that looks almost too posed. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want it to look posed. I just kind of wanted them to fall in line. If half of them show up in a shot, great. But really it was all about the bride and the groom. And then any other random people that might have been around in the street. But I thought these photos are cool because this venue was essentially done pretty close to where they live, their hometown, their downtown. And so I thought, you know, the buildings, I wanted to keep some of that in and around the background. And I thought, this is going to be a cool photo somewhere in here. I don't know where that photo is going to be, mm-hmm. but I'm going to shoot 200 in the next 5 minutes as they walk. And this was literally a situation where I was just going to shoot it all the way up the 500 meters we were going to walk. And then I was going to hope that one or two cool things happen on the way. And I haven't even looked at the photo yet, but when we walked, I can't remember if it was on the way, I think it was on the way back. So on the way back, we're walking through the downtown and two people from a building up on a balcony yelled down to them, "Congratulations, you guys look great." And they both looked up at the same time and either gave a thumbs up or again, motioned to the people. And I shot that moment. And I, again, haven't looked at it, but no, got it. And that photo right off, I'm like, that's a keeper. Just because it doesn't even matter if it's perfectly in focus or anything. It's mm-hmm. just, that's a cool moment that you don't get. You can't pose for.
No, absolutely.
So we did that. And then, okay, man, this was, I'm now just talking about it makes me think, wow, we shot a lot of photos.
Absolutely.
But we went, they had sort of booked this little courtyard at the courthouse, which you're normally not allowed to go in, but they basically, it's all rock walls, probably 15 feet high, and they were going to basically use this for the photos. So it's again, all neat sort of stone walls. And we went in there, and it was good because it provided some open shade for this time of day. That was good. And then we lit it all with James's giant, I was going to say giant peach, but with his giant reflector. So the nice thing was they kind of in their head said, okay, we want these different combinations. And so my wife, myself, you know, tried to come up with different poses, but basically we just ran through everybody super quick and said, okay, we're going to do the best man and his, and the bride, the maid of honor with the, you know, bride and groom. And then we're just going to work through, okay, each groomsman with the groom and just all these combinations super quick because we're just using essentially a continuous light source and we were sort of feathering it in front, sometimes behind, but this giant reflector, and I'm going to buy one 100% after using it because you can light up a huge surface area with one of these huge reflectors. We were lighting up the subjects, the back wall behind them, all with this big reflector. So again, it really, really made for the time crunch being not so much pressure because I would just put those people in there, shoot continuous 5-6 frames, and then moving on. Like as long as I knew they had a decent smile in there at some point, time to move in the next combo. So we got through every combination we wanted pretty quick. And then I did, I remember previous advice from you saying you try to shoot people out so that they can go back.
Yeah.
So I did all of that and then just said, okay, hey, now everybody in the bridesmaids and the groomsmen, they can all go back to the venue.
My order is I give the old people, kids, the drunk guy.
Right. And so what we had done is we did the elderly people at the venue before we even left. So they were done. We didn't have to bring them with us. Then we shot the bridesmaids and the groomsmen. Now they could go back. And then the bride and groom stuck around just with myself and Lisa and the and the other cameraman to just do a few more shots. And so got those. And the other thing nice too is like they're not distracted and they're not being goofed on by their buddies and that. So it was able to do a couple more romantic photos and we'll see how those ones turned out. Cause it's just, it's funny shooting that sort of stuff is not usually my, my forte.
Right.
So we did that. And then, we walked back to the venue and I shot a few more on the go just thinking, okay, now it's just the bride and groom. Something might happen here. And that's, I think where I got that photo where they're giving the thumbs up to somebody in a building. And then it was time for the party. So I'd done all, there's one more, a huge group picture that they wanted, like the bride's family, really big family. So there's 19 people. And so their first thought was, hey, let's do this on the same little balcony that we had shot the grandparents before. And I thought, yeah, I'm not so sure that's such a great photo because the background doesn't mean anything. It's just essentially, you know, a very meaningless backdrop. So I said, how about you bring them down to the street? This street was blocked off and we'll shoot it right in front of the hotel. The hotel was built in 1893. It's a landmark in that little downtown area. It's called the Walper and it's red brick. And it's and again, it's got a big Walper sign in the front, and we had essentially an empty street to shoot it on. So I said, bring them down here, and we're going to shoot them right in front of the Walper. There's a meaningful photo, right? Mm-hmm. So they brought 19 people down, and there was shade on that side of the building. So I just shot it in open shade. And again, haven't looked at that photo, but it's going to be good because there was I didn't have to control for a lot of variables. And 19 people, I used the 50 millimeter lens and just backed up. Right? Like I didn't have to worry because, you know, hey, it was clear what we were doing and the street was blocked off and nobody was going to walk right through the frame or else we were going to chirp them pretty good. So I did that. And then that was essentially at that point, the end of my responsibilities to the bride and the groom. And then on, it was just, you know, if you want to, you can shoot whatever you want. Of course I did.
Right.
And then from there on, I shot some first dance photos, which again, wasn't a requirement. I shot a few of the speeches because I wanted to. So I'm one of those guys, and you're probably this guy too, who says he's all done. I'm just going to enjoy myself. I'm just going to have a good time. And then the camera's sitting next to you and you see something happening. You're like, well,
you can't not.
I can't not shoot that, right? It's just not in my DNA. And it's going to make me happy. They said, put it away, do whatever makes you happy. And I told them, well, as I find myself with the camera, this makes me happy. This is why I do it. I want to capture moments. And so I did a few of the speeches. Again, some of those photos are really neat. Tried to shoot an angle based on how they position the tables so that I could sometimes see them, the bride and the groom, and the speaker in the same shot. Them, so they're not, their faces aren't in the shot, but you can clearly tell it's them looking at the speaker, mm-hmm. and then you get the expression or the toast or whatever's happening. And again, I think I like those kind of photos. I think they will too, mm-hmm. Especially looking back on them years later when they sort of say, you know, oh, here's when so-and-so was doing my
speech. It's nice when you can accommodate that. I remember in your wedding, there was actually quite a bit of distance, I think, from the first tables to the head table.
Yeah, yeah.
So to trying to get those in the same shot was
it's sometimes
impossible.
It just doesn't work, right? Yeah. So it did work out, and then we had some first dance photos, and this was from a photography standpoint an interesting challenge because it was really dark in there.
Yeah.
And you know, it was really dark when the first dance came on, and I'm just thinking, okay, well now I got to shoot with flash. It's hard to get focus. And so I think I'm using the focus assist on the flash. I'm shooting black foamy thing. But then thinking quick on my feet, I had my wife pull out the LED light. I told you I was going to bring the LED light, mm-hmm. hadn't made a ton of use for it, but is an awesome way to help get focus. So she stood off the side, and exposure-wise, I wasn't picking up a heck of a lot from the LED light because it was dark, and I had her standing far enough away. I knew it wasn't going to be the main light source, but it allowed the camera to grab focus. So mm-hmm. just a handy little trick, and so used that and took a few of them dancing.
So you used only on-camera bounce flash?
Only on-camera bounce flash, yeah.
And how did that work out? Did you get...
I think I did fine. Yeah. Okay. Black foamy thing and white walls. So,
yeah.
You know, that again, without white walls, I don't think it would have been fine, but I think I got some pretty good images. Again, this is without having checked them on a full-size monitor.
Yeah, we'll see.
Quick, yeah. I might be shooting my mouth off and it might be like, wrong. Your photos suck.
Hey, wait, whoops.
Yeah. No, I think I got some decent shots there. And then last but not least, you know, I'm all done. I'm completely committed to no more photos. And then the dance starts, the dance uh-huh. music. And I probably wouldn't have shot people partying and dancing except for my daughter was wildly into it. She and again, she is into dance. So dance is definitely probably, if there's one word I would say to describe her at this age, at age 7, it's dance. Like, she's just all about it. So I kid you not, the dance party, probably when they started dancing, was about 10 o'clock. She usually goes to bed at 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. and she would look like she was about to be unconscious, and the dance music came on, and it was like, oh my God, she rose. She rose from the ashes and was all party all the time. All the kids probably, well, I know, all the kids were in bed. There was not one kid standing. There's only probably 15, no, not even, maybe 10 kids at this wedding. There was not a kid standing by about 11:30. Not a teenager, not a kid. My daughter still on the dance floor until 1 a.m.
Nice.
She's never even made midnight any other day of the year. She's in her life, she's never seen midnight, even on New Year's, but she was 1 a.m. on the dance floor until we finally said, all right, Sarah, that's enough. Like, we've got to put you down or you're mm-hmm. going to be a mess tomorrow. So because of that and because of her involvement in the dance and loving the attention and everyone kind of chanting her name, I had to shoot some photos. And since I'm already shooting photos, of course I'm going to shoot some photos of everybody else. Mm-hmm. So hence a bunch of dance floor shots. So
had you put your equipment up in the room like we talked about?
Everything else. But of course, the 50 millimeter on my full frame with a flash set aside.
So everything else is gone.
Yeah. And my cousin just loved the fact that I was not a photographer on the dance floor. I was a dancer on the dance floor shooting photos. Like, I was in full dance mode, but, you know, had the camera strap that allowed me just to let it dangle. And every once in a while, I would pop it off if I saw something and I took a photo. So, again, I'm super excited to go through, but that's all bounce flash, black foamy thing. And a couple of times I had my dad, because of that trick I learned with the LED light, shed a little bit of light on my direction so that I could make sure I grabbed sharp focus. So mm-hmm. yeah, no, they had like the full DJ with, you know, some lights going on. So I'm excited to look at some of those because again, you get all the disco lights on people and it's clear what's going on. So
start to finish.
Start to finish.
How many photos did you snap?
I again don't know exactly because I deleted a lot on the plane.
Okay.
But roughly in terms of gigabytes, well, two full 16 gigabyte cards, and then at least another half, because I took other Toronto photos while I was there. So roughly 40 gigabytes of photos.
40 gigs. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know how many it is. I'm going to say 1,000.
40 gigs. Yeah, could be.
Yeah. Like my, well, for round numbers, my images in RAW are roughly 20 megabytes. So I don't know. Do the math on that. So yeah. I don't know. It's a lot. It's the bottom line is a lot of photos. Again, a lot of them are burst mode 5, as I was just trying to, you know, basically get through some of the portrait stuff where I know I'm only keeping one of every 5. So a lot of it's that. But yeah, roughly, let's say 1,000 photos.
I'm gonna go ahead and double that. I think my numbers are coming in around 1,800 to 2,000.
Wow. I guess. Well, there you go. I feel like that's possible. I hope it's not, but a lot.
If they're 20 meg. And you took 40 gig.
Yeah.
You're looking at around 2,000 images, roughly.
All right.
And then throw in the other photographer.
Yeah.
What did he shoot?
Oh, probably. I mean, I figure he shot at least 600. Like, he wasn't 600 photos. He wasn't shooting anymore at the... Like, he shot the speeches and first dance and stuff, but then he stopped. He had no dance floor. I had at least 300 dance floor.
Did he give you the images, or he's going to give them directly?
No, he's going to give them directly. Okay. And like I say, I hope he sends all of his good photos, and I hope their problem is they have too many good photos.
Absolutely.
There's no ego about whose is what. Like, this was a great guy. I was happy that he came along. I hope that if there's a moment that I miss, I hope he grabbed it, but it was all in the best interest of, hey, let's just get good images. So he was super helpful. A lot of the images I got are, he's directly responsible for a lot of it, just in terms of helping me and seeing things that I might not have seen, and definitely the lighting side of it. I couldn't have got some of it without him. So it was a team approach.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I think maybe a future listener, because, you know, we talked all things photography, and I tried to direct him to potentially some episodes that he might really enjoy. Black Foamy thing, I made sure he had one for his camera. So, and yeah, I know, I think he loved the Black Foamy thing.
Everybody
so,
does.
Yeah. So there you go. So thank you, Neil Van Niekerk, for that. not going to take credit for that.
Absolutely.
So.
Love it.
So yeah, I've got a lot of great photos, I think. But all this podcasting, I was telling you earlier this week, all I want to do is edit those photos, and yet all you keep making me do is more podcasts.
So. Right. That's how we do it.
Yeah. So
we're good now, though.
Yeah. Now nothing I'm never time. Podcasting again.
Nothing but time. Well, that's it. You're a wedding photographer now.
Yeah.
You're in.
Yeah.
Great. Next week's challenge.
We have one?
I got one.
Okay.
It ties in. It's funny because I didn't know ahead of time you were going to talk about that one photo of the bride with the eyes being in focus and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
However, I wrote it down already. Critical focus. That's the challenge
critical
for next week.
Critical focus.
So that right. ties in right there.
Sure.
It's going to tie in with our next week's topic.
Next week's topic is? Do we have a topic? Do we ever tell what next week's topic is?
No. I'm not
it's always
now.
A surprise.
No, I do know what it is going to be. Okay. And it will tie in. That's why I selected this.
Well, we did challenge. Say that we're going to talk about my wedding
right.
that we never talked about. So.
And then we fumbled it.
Yeah.
And then Dawn
so it's
phoned
better
out.
Not to say what next week's topic is.
And then we sat down in the middle of just about starting a podcast. We get a Skype call from Dawn. Hey, how about
I'm in.
Yeah. I'm like, who is this?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys have Skype in Guelph?
Yeah.
But no, that's the only time we talked about it. But next week's show will be... a surprise then.
Great.
Not to me. I know what it is.
Okay.
I'll tell you off.
Surprise to me.
Where can people find your stuff and hopefully your wedding photos?
Yeah, I'm hoping by the time this airs that I will have finished editing them and will have had full permission from the bride and the groom to post them. I'm sure they will grant me permission, but I want to make sure that they have a chance to post them before I post them.
Well, so. All of Hungary is on pins and needles. They want to see them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to turn them all into a comic. Yeah. So you can find this stuff on Two Hosers Facebook. That tends to be where I'm posting things. And how about, you know what? I was going to say, you have been posting way more than I have been posting.
On You've Two Hosers?
Or on Facebook.
Yeah.
You've turned into the Facebook guy.
I still keep it, I think, relatively
Mr.
light.
Mr. Facebook, I'm no, calling you. Yeah.
Mr. FB?
Yeah.
MFB? What? I still, because we are in vacation mode.
Right.
And we are trying to keep people updated sort of back home and all that of what's going on. Yeah, a little bit. I still keep it pretty light, I think.
No, I think it's
couple photos a week.
Yeah.
At the most.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't get too far. past that. But on two hosers, yeah, I try to post some of my favorites.
Okay.
Every now and then. I try not to abuse Facebook.
Right.
Because guess what most people do?
Yeah.
They abuse Facebook. Great.
Where can people find your stuff, though?
Not there on Facebook anymore. Now I'm retracting.
Yeah. Now I totally, you know, made you feel self-conscious about your posting habits.
Am I over Facebook? What's going on? I promised I wouldn't do it. You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com. Did we say Amazon at the top of the show?
Yeah.
Okay. Do it again.
Yeah. Buy a 60-inch reflector because I'm going to.
Buy it through Amazon. Buy it through our site. Click through.
I'm going to just buy it at the local camera store, though.
Well, just tell them to buy it. Just get them to give you a couple of shekels. Yeah. I'm going to buy it. I would buy it on Amazon. I'd probably get $3 out of the deal. So
yeah.
You go ahead. Float it my way. That'd be awesome. Yeah, check us out at twohosers.com where you can find all the links for what we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.